go back to when Gary, when you first heard Gary resign. Were you surprised or knowing his situation? Were you concerned?
Well, I was more concerned, you know, for Gary's health. And that's obviously being with Gary in Houston, you know, and watching the first episode, that was scary. It happened at halftime of a football game on national TV. So I was more concerned, to be honest.
Did you talk to him at all about it, or because it happened after the season?
Yeah.
Were you able to put a call in to him or text him?
We talked before my playoff game going to Pittsburgh, just checking on him. He was back in Houston at his ranch, and he was feeling better. But he thought it was time for a break, you know, just, you know, having a family, having his wife. You know, he wanted to make sure he was going to be healthy for life. That was important to him.
How quickly did things happen with you with the Broncos after that?
You know, I didn't talk to those guys until after the playoff game in Pittsburgh. You know, we played, I think, a Saturday. We flew back, and you know, my agent got a call from John. I think that maybe Sunday or even Monday morning, maybe, and I flew out. I think Tuesday, if I'm not mistaken.
What has been the most eye-opening experience as head coach now that you've been on the job for a couple months? What has been the difference as a head coach?
Well, it's been the non-football issues. And that's the biggest difference. You know, as a football coach, I mean, you spend your entire day doing football and doing players. As a head coach, you know, that's probably 10% of your day. And that's the biggest difference. You know, spending more time with scheduling and how we travel. You know, what's the paint on the walls? You know, the color of the walls going to be, the carpet. Those things I had no idea, you know, fell on my plate. I don't care. I just want to coach football. But it does fall on your plate, and that's the difference, in my opinion.
With stuff like that, do you find yourself leaning on the templates, say, that you picked up in places like Houston, Cincinnati, Miami, of how they went about it?
Yeah, I mean, you always draw back on your experiences, and that helps. You know, I think this job is, it's based on your experiences. You know, I've been with, you know, five teams now, and every place you go, it's different, you know, of how you do things. So you take those experiences and you kind of combine them and make them your own. You know, it's no different than, you know, when you're a coordinator on defense. You know, I was with a lot of coordinators, and you take all of those packages and you kind of make them one. So that's the job, in my opinion, as a head coach.
You had a couple job opportunities, or at least interviews, lined up.
Sure.
What about the Broncos that you like that put them above the others?
Well, you know, it was obvious, in my opinion, the Broncos was a job that wasn't broken. You know, most jobs that open, it's a rebuild. You know, the guy was fired for a reason; it wasn't right.
Yeah.
But with this job, you know, it just won a championship a year prior, and they won 9 games with 2 rookie quarterbacks playing. So it's not a broken job. And on top of that, you have great fan base, you have great management, you got John Elway in the building. So, you know, to have a chance to acquire a job like that was luck. You know, I mean, you're lucky, because most guys who get, you know, a first-time job, your chance of keeping that job are really slim, almost none, you know. In this day and age, you know, they give you about 2 or 3 years to win. If you don't win, then you're gone. So, you know, having the Bronco job, you know, I have a chance to be there for a while if I do it right.
At the same time, you don't get that 8-8 break-in.
Yeah, and that's okay. You know, every coach wants to win. Every player wants to win. Everyone's expected to win this league. And that's why you see so much turnover. You know, winning is the priority. And, you know, that doesn't bother me. You know, I'm embracing the expectations. You know, I want those expectations. Again, to have a chance to have a good football team, to have a dominant defense, you know, why not?
I'm asking, if you scripted it any better when you list that, it's not only not broken, but with your history in Colorado and,
right,
and the organization, the
right,
sort of stature of this organization.
Right.
Is it a dream job? I mean,
well, every job in this league is a dream job, but But for me, you know, being a CU Buff and, you know, kind of coming back home, you know, again, that's different. So yeah, it's definitely a storybook, you know, kind of, you know, story, I should say.
With the quarterbacks, you touched on this earlier this month when you were asked, you know, does Trevor not get a fair shake? Why do you think that is? Why do you think he's not accepted fully as a true starting quarterback?
Well, you know, sometimes your draft status, you know, sometimes, you know, not playing every game, you know, not having a full season of, you know, of a fair evaluation, you know, and, you know, you have to go back and really watch the tape and study Trevor, you know, to get a clear sense of how good he was, in my opinion. You know, I mean, he had, you know, I think he had, what, 7 wins maybe as a starter. But you have to go back and really watch the tape and watch how he plays the position. And you ask football coaches about Trevor Siemian, they recognize it. Because it takes work to go recognize that.
The injury part, are there things he should be doing differently to protect himself better in the pocket?
Absolutely he can. You know, that comes with being a young quarterback. You know, you kind of learn that part of, you know, when the down has expired, get rid of the football, you know, live for the next down. You know, so, you know, that comes with experience. And a couple of those, you know, shots he took last year, he could have probably prevented them.
When you interviewed for the head coaching job, had you already put in the tape work on Trevor and John want to know your opinions on the quarterback?
Yeah.
Did you not have time during that time?
I had no time. You know, I walked into the interview, you know, after the playoff game, the Pittsburgh demolished us, so I was in a bad place. You know, so I went in Tuesday. I had no time to really study the quarterback. You know, I watched a little bit on that Monday, you know, and flying in on Tuesday, but I had no time to study those guys. You know, I knew who Trevor was and Paxton was, you know, being around Coop and, you know, talking to Coop all season, and I weighed those guys, you know, so I knew, you know, about the kid, but I didn't study him at all.
Any thoughts or are you passionate about any of these viewers proposals? Anyone sort of strike you?
Well, what a player's safety, you know, rule changes are always, in my opinion, a good thing for the league. You know, we've got to coach the game differently, and we've got to play the game differently, you know, so it can last, you know, beyond, you know, these days. The defensive receiver rules are always, in my opinion, a good rule to put in, because you can do your job without harming a player. You know, back when I played the game, that wasn't the case. You know, we were coached to take guys out. You know, and that's got to change, and it has changed, in my opinion. Coaches are coaching the game differently, you know, and we have to coach it differently so it can last. Because now, you know, I mean, you know, we have understanding about concussions and head injuries, and it's serious. You know, so we can't discount not coaching the game differently.
When you hear people talk about your quarterback position, it's like they like Trevor and like Paxton, but they don't know if you can get to the finish line or get past a team like New England with young quarterbacks. What is it when you've looked at them, you told me yesterday, you feel a little more comfortable being around? What is it you see, specifically from Trevor at the start, that makes you think there's more there? That he hasn't, you know, that the ceiling is higher than maybe perhaps people realize?
Well, it's more there because he hadn't played enough, you know, and you watch him when he plays with a calm demeanor. He plays with the ability to not turn the ball over. You know, we're going to play good defense in Denver. You know, and I think what's going to help Trevor and Paxton is running the football better. You know, that's going to give us, you know, that's going to give us a fair box as far as if they play single high. We've got 2 receivers outside that are Pro Bowl caliber guys. Now we got one-on-ones with those corners. You know, so running the football better is going to help both quarterbacks. It's going to force those guys to load the box or not load the box, and we run the football. You know, so that part I'm excited about. But again, the best teams win, you know, and I think Trevor and Paxton understands that. You know, just do your job, okay? Do your job the best you can do, and that's going to be good enough to win football games.
In terms of running the football, what do you want to see from C.J. Anderson and Devontae Booker this year to help bring that forward?
Well, you know, not just those backs, but, you know, from our offensive line. You know, we signed 2 big guys. You know, we got the Leary guy out of Dallas, who, in my opinion, was the best guard in free agency. okay? He's going to bring a attitude and a culture of being a physical, the offensive line. You know, that's important for us. Watson's a young player, you know, with huge upside. I mean, he's played left and right tackle. He's got a basketball background, so he's a hell of an athlete for a big guy. Again, you know, Oakland's O-line last year, they ran the football, you know, on their terms. So those two guys are going to bring a different attitude to our offensive line. So it starts there. You know, we have to block better up front. CJ is very capable, okay? You know, even Booker in the last month of the season showed what he can do. You know, so we have two backs that, you know, will run downhill, but we got to block better up front. And we will.
What's your concern about Watson's injury history? He can play a lot of football.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a concern. But, you know, that's year to year, you know, with guys. You know, some guys have bad luck, you know. Some guys come out of that, so hopefully he comes out of that. You know, I mean, he's in Denver right now training. I mean, he's a big man. You know, he's a fun guy to be around. So hopefully he becomes healthy and he plays for us.
Get back to your quarterback. Can you say anything about potential trade talks with Romo and where you guys are with that? And or would you be open to adding a quarterback in free agency?
Right.
If somebody came over?
Right. Romo's a non-issue. I mean, he's under contract. You know, for us, it's not non-issue. You know, we haven't had one meeting about Romo. You know, we've got these two young guys that we're focused on right now. And, you know, absolutely moving forward in the draft or free agency, we can we have to acquire one more quarterback because of the reps that's going to be taken during the spring and the fall. You know, but, you know, as far as Romo, that's a non-issue for us.
Would you like it to be a veteran considering the other two are young?
Well, it depends. You know, if it's a veteran, you know, and he's going to be our third, it makes no sense, in my opinion. You know, we got two guys, and again, you know, it's going to be a competition, and you know, that's going to make both guys better. You know, so whoever wins the job is going to play for us, but that guy behind him is going to get better through the competition. You know, so again, we've got those two young guys that we're happy with, and you know, one's going to start, and one's going to be the second guy.
Do you envision the addition being the third guy, or are you open to it being number one, or number two, or number three? I mean, are you sitting here going, hey, we want to
Well, who's that guy? You know, I don't know who that guy is, you know, but right now, today, we've got two quarterbacks in our building that's going to be a one and a two. You know, we have to add a third, you know, in some capacity. You know, that third can, you know, outplay our one and two. You know, if he's that good, absolutely. You know, but right now we have a one and two in the building.
Have they asked you at all about Colin Kaepernick? Did you have interest in him?
Colin Kaepernick?
Yeah.
You know, we have not discussed him. You know, obviously, you know, he's been a good player in the past, but we have not discussed him.
Sorry if this is like a really dumb question, but you know, you're coming in as a first-time head coach, you have your own defensive belief system,
yeah,
and you're coming into a team that's had a historically great defense.
Sure.
What are like the challenges of teaching your belief system to guys with some strong personalities who had a lot of success
right
doing theirs?
Well, my system, you know, comes from Wade. You know, I was with Wade in Houston. I was with Mike Nolan, who learned from Wade in San Fran. I was with Billy Davis in San Fran, who learned from Wade. I was with Greg Minuski in San Fran, who learned from Wade. You know, so my belief system is Wade's. So I'm walking into a defense that I'm very familiar with. You know, so we're not going to change the structure of the defense. Now, that being said, you know, we can add some things to make us better, in my opinion. But the system's not going to change.
A lot's been made about Mike McCoy and how he's going to run the offense. What about Joe and the defense? How much freedom is he going to have, and how much do you trust him?
Well, you know, it's Joe's system, you know. And again, guys, it's not broken, you know. We've been number one in pass defense there for 2 years in a row, and that's Joe. You know, that's Joe's group, and that's hard to do in this league. It's a passing league, you know. But it's Joe's system. He's going to call it, and he's ready to call it.
You talk about the system and it kind of being something you're familiar with because of Wade, but Wade's also a very specific brand of leader. And there's
yes
an element of leadership that comes with it. It's not just about system. So
right,
I guess, how have you kind of found your way in terms of having that voice? I mean, you can't be Wade.
No.
So who are you going to be? How can you be?
Well, I'll tell you this. You know, I'm not Wade. You know, players love playing for Wade. I mean, he's an easygoing guy. He's the same every day, you know, whether you won or lost. You know, Wade's always the same guy, you know. But in my past, players have loved playing for me also. You know, I'm a different style in Wade. But, you know, I've maximized players also. You know, and again, Joe's the coordinator. You know, Joe's coach, you know, that secondary, you know, which is a lot of personality back there. You know, so those guys believe in Joe. You know, so I don't see any issues with those guys playing for Joe Woods. You know, it's going to be a good thing because he's been with that same group for 2 years, and that back end kind of leads that defense. You know, so that's Joe's guy. So he'll have great support from his, you know, his secondary mates that he's coached the last 2 years.
What makes that secondary so great in your mind?
Well, what makes him so great? You know, I would think it's an engaged group. You know, you watch every game. You know, those guys are ready to roll. You know, and it comes from the safeties. It comes from TJ and Stewart. Those guys are on every day. You know, and to be a great secondary in this league, you've got to be on every day.
What about the defense, fans? I mean, a lot of teams feel that whatever the quarterback situation be, that the defense makes it easier for them. Is that kind of going in the plan right now? Hey, the defense to help whatever transition we make at quarterback.
Right. It definitely helps, but I don't want that. I want an offense that scores points. You know, I don't want an offense that leans on our defense to win the game for them. I don't want that. You know, I told Mike this, you know, when I hired him. I said, Mike, I want you to go score points. You know, whoever's our quarterback, you know, let's score as many points as we can, okay? And that defense is going to play behind you. But we can't go into it thinking that, you know, they're going to rescue the offense every week. That's a bad way to go into the season. So I want those guys to be aggressive. You know, I want them to attack defenses and score as many points as they can. Okay? Now, if they can't, defense, help us. You know, but their mindset's got to be, you know, it's got to be aggressive and score points.
Do you need a fourth cornerback type? Do you think that's a need for you right now? Or Lorenzo Doss ready mm-hmm. to step up?
Having a fourth corner is important. You know, losing Kayvon, that was huge for us because, you know, Kayvon's a luxury that, you know, they've had for 3 years. I mean, Kayvon's a big guy. He's a 4'3", 40 guy. You know, he's a third-round pick that never had to play. But your fourth corner is one snap from being a starter because most of the downs are sub-downs and you're playing with three corners. You know, so that fourth corner is a priority. Doss is a guy that, you know, can do the job, but he's got to prove it. You know, he's a young guy. You know, he's a New Orleans guy, so he's a favorite of mine.
Yeah.
New Orleans guy.
Does this guy sneak in here?
You know, so he's a favorite of mine, but he's got to prove it, Doss. You know, but that's a big role as a fourth corner.
Is he more outside than inside?
Yeah, he's more of an outside guy. But he has great instincts, has great ball skills, so hopefully he can grow into that role.
Cordell was saying that when you guys played youth basketball that maybe you got the best of him. Is this true?
Mr. Biddy.
Cordell?
Yeah.
No. Maybe a little bit. He was a great athlete, though, obviously. But it's a long time ago. You know, I grew up with Cordell, guys.
You know, I didn't realize you were that close.
From babies, yeah. From six-year-olds, right?
Yes, we were.
You know, our dads were great friends in the neighborhood, so.
You were that close to
yeah.
him?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yep. Always rivals, though. Same neighborhood, but different playgrounds and different high schools. So we were always rivals.
Allow me to set this up the right way. Mr. Joseph, after knowing you since we were kids,
right.
you being at Nicholson Playground, mm-hmm. me at Mack Park,
yep.
for many years you being Mr. Biddy, King Drive, to your father.
You got to explain what Mr. Biddy is. You keep saying that on
well,
the national media.
Mr. Right. I'm sorry. See, you're coaching me again. This is the way it's always been. Mr. Biddy is like, you know, in AAU basketball, you have the MVP of the league. Biddy basketball was another league where we play with a yellow basketball.
Yeah.
And whenever you're the best player in that league, you're considered as Mr. Biddy. So BJ has been considered as Mr. Biddy for a very long time, and I've had to watch him from afar for a long time. But BJ, you became my host at University of Colorado.
That's right.
Very unselfish.
Yeah.
You've had the opportunity to persevere through playing cornerback.
Yeah.
Something I've never seen you do. And you went against the GOAT.
Yeah.
And Jerry Rice, I think, in your very first game.
Tim Brown, sorry.
Was it Tim Brown? I'm sorry. It was
no
Tim Brown.
No different,
right? Both
Jerry goats. Rice, Tim Brown.
How do you take those collective experiences, quarterback, then now, the defensive coordinator, playing defense, to now being a head coach and make these young guys understand what it means to play defense?
Well, I think this, you know, playing – you know, on offense my entire life, but then playing defense in the NFL, it's helped me, you know, and it was hard. You know, I had some hard times in football from college to, you know, to the pros, but I think this overall experience has helped me understand both sides of the ball. You know, as an offensive guy coaching defense, it was a true advantage. You know, as a defensive guy, you know, obviously against offense, it was a true advantage. So I think having those experiences, Cordell, you know, obviously helped me understand both sides of the ball. You know, as a head coach, you know, you've got to understand both sides of the ball. You know, and you know, it's a hard league. You know, and you know, for players have to know this. They have to know that it's a shortcoming league. You know, so put your work in, focus, because in a year or two it could be gone. You know, don't have any regrets with your career. You know, and that part, I think I didn't realize when I was a young player in the league. You know, do whatever you can to stay in the league as long as you can, because one day it's going to be over.
You had an opportunity to do a phenomenal job with the Miami Dolphins. Basically, brought the team from the dead somewhat defensively.
Sure.
You had Ndamukong Suh on the defensive line.
Yeah.
A guy who was considered with the Detroit Lions one of the dirtiest defensive players in the game.
Yeah.
You were capable of getting his attention and making him play hard.
Yeah.
How do you do that with a team like Denver? They don't have those type of guys that have that type of character, but guys who really want to win
right.
and get them to play the way they need to play right. and get back to a championship.
Well, the culture in Denver has already been set. It's a culture of winning, okay, as far as the overall building. But every year, team cultures change. You know, last year, that culture of playing great defense wasn't in the building. You know, I want a culture of team, of transparency, of everyone doing their job. You know, we have to get back to just playing football. You know, reboot this thing and get back to everyone doing their job. If we do that, it's going to be a fun season.
Tell me about your quarterbacks, Trevor Siemian, Paxton Lynch. Paxton Lynch, of course, the younger and the more vibrant, big kid, real big kid,
sure,
fast,
sure.
straight, great arm. Trevor Siemian is your workhorse in a sense. He's smart, he's intelligent.
Sure.
He's going to do everything, let's just say, right.
Right.
Wesley kid, correct me if I'm wrong.
Absolutely.
So he's smart, of course.
Absolutely.
How do you, when watching it, pull back into your closet of being a quarterback?
Right.
How do you gauge which guy is the better guy, other than it just being about his ability and also being able to lead on the football field? What
right.
intangible are you looking for?
Well, they're both so different, you know. Again, Trevor is a guy that plays the game with great awareness. You know, he's good with the football, and he can really throw the football. And he throws the ball very well. Paxton is a young guy with great upside. He's tall, he's long, he can make plays with his legs. You know, so they're so different. Playing quarterback in this league, it's about decision making. You know, and that's important. You know, and they're both young guys, and they both have to learn that part of playing a game. Okay? If they do that, we can win football games. And again, it's going to be a great competition in the spring and in the fall, and the best man wins.
Thank you, BJ.
All right,
baby, just always good. Let me know. Take care,
Jim. Vance, so if a veteran, you know, would be a third, which doesn't make sense, the draft, is it deep with guys at quarterback, or do all college quarterbacks need a redshirt year now?
Well, it's a fairly deep draft, I would say. You know, I've watched probably 15 quarterbacks. You know, but as a third quarterback, you know, it's kind of what you want. It's your preference. You know, and again, you know, that's a work in progress. You know, it could be a young veteran. You know, why not?
Yeah.
You know, but I wouldn't perceive it being an older veteran. You know, if it's a veteran, it's going to be a young veteran for us. But, you know, I wouldn't discount drafting a young quarterback, you know, out of the draft, you know, next month. That's possible.
Yeah.
You know, but again, you know, our focus is on those first two. You know, and the third is going to fall to us. You know, whether the draft or free agency, that won't be hard for us to do.
Yeah.
Have a lot of former quarterbacks in the coaching staff, front office.
Yeah.
How much input will John have in this quarterback competition? I mean, how will this be decided?
John's always involved, you know, and I welcome John's experience and John's, you know, knowledge of the quarterback. You know, but you've got Mike McCoy, you've got Bill Musgraves, you've got Jeep Christ, you know, so we've got a lot of guys who've coached young quarterbacks in this league. You know, we've got guys on offense. We've got three guys on offense that's called plays in this league the last 2 seasons. You know, so we've got a lot of experience as far as identifying what that spot should look like. You know, so it's gonna be a group effort, guys, you know, on picking the quarterback. And again, you know, the best guy is going to play, you know, and win the job, but it won't be easy, and it should not be easy. I'm hoping it's really, really tough, and I'm hoping it's really, really a tight race, you know, and it's got to fall on, a group decision more often than not.
Colin Kaepernick was brought up earlier as a head coach. Do players who speak their mind or, you know, politically forward, does that bother you? How do you feel about that?
It does not bother me. You know, you have to give the players the right to, you know, voice their personal concerns. Okay, that doesn't bother me at all. So, you know, and Colin, you would hope he gets evaluated as a quarterback first. You know, and then, you know, his personal views can kind of be put to the side a little bit.
Are you surprised he hasn't been signed anywhere?
Am I surprised? I'm not surprised with this league. I mean, you got Kaepernick, you got Adrian Peterson out there. Lots of, you know, veteran players who've played well in the past are still on the market. You know, that can be, you know, financial issues or, you know, just kind of wait until your roster kind of, you know, shapes up to see where those guys fit. So I'm not surprised. No.
Why not look at Adrian Peterson just hypothetically? Guy's proven it. He obviously didn't play much last year.
Yeah.
Why not look at a guy like him?
Maybe we have. You don't know. You know, but everyone available, Troy, is going to be, you know, explored and researched for our football team. You know, so, you know, every guy out there has been talked about probably in some manner, if he can help us.
Right.
You know, so everyone that we deem can help us win, they've been talked about.
Coach, you may have been asked this already many times, but do you have any thoughts on the Raiders relocation?
Yeah, you know, I was in San Fran for 6 seasons, so I lived in the Bay Area. You know, that's a great fan base between Oakland and the Warriors. You know, so I feel bad for the fans of Oakland. They're losing a great franchise. You know, but that being said, you know, having a chance to move to Las Vegas in a new stadium, you know, helps the league. So whatever's best for the league, I'm on board with. But I do feel bad for the Oakland Raider fans.
What were your thoughts coming into this year about the Rooney Rule when you were an assistant coach? And do you think it may have helped you get this job at this point?
I would say this. You know, it's a good rule to have in place because now you have a chance to, you know, keep the so-called playing field fair, I would think. You know, but that being said, you know, everyone wants to hire who they know. You know, so, you know, black or white or, you know, whatever nationality you are, you know, if I know you, you know, I want to interview you. And that's what it's about, in my opinion. You know, it's never about your skin color. It's more about relationships, you know, who you've worked with in the past. But it's a good rule to have in place because, you know, you're just checking a box to make sure everyone's getting a chance to interview for those jobs. You know, so I do agree with the rule, and, you know, it's a fair rule, in my opinion.
Should it be extended, though, to maybe the position coaches? Because coordinators are kind of a fast track to head coach, and you were blocked. I understand the Bengals wanted to keep you, but
yeah,
the Broncos were going to make you a coordinator. They wanted you, at least. And then you had to wait another year. Now,
sure,
you're getting here pretty quickly, but
sure,
should that be extended?
Well, from assistant coaches?
To coordinator.
To coordinators. Well, it could be, but, you know, it's all contract issues, you know, because you can't leave unless you're going to be a head coach. You know, I think about 8 years ago, the rule changed from being an assistant coordinator. If you had opportunity, they couldn't hold you back from being a coordinator. But, you know, it was so many titles being thrown out, passing game coordinator, assistant head coach, that the rule changed that, you know, you can only move to be a head coach. So if that rule would change, and I would say yes to your question, but until that rule changes, it makes no sense because the contract overrides everything.
Okay, but now you're a head coach, you're in these meetings with other head coaches, your GM's on the competition committee. I mean, there's, you know, more avenues,
right,
for you to maybe speak out for,
right,
guys that are at lower levels. So
right,
it seems like something that,
right,
well, should, you know, that you could help
right
spearhead, if you will. Or,
yeah,
or
here's my personal belief, okay? If a guy has a chance to advance his career, okay, and help his family, I'm not going to stop it. Simple as that. Okay, because it's, you know, it's about your family. It's a job that, you know, we feed our family with this job. So if you're one of my coaches and someone wants to make you a coordinator, I'm not going to stop you. It's as plain and simple as that. How about that?